We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I mean, I have so many ideas.
This is AJ and Dusty.
Some are simple, like take down traffic lights and eliminate the post office.
With AJ McCord.
I think this is going to be a really good bonding session. Guys love it when you can show them you're better than they are at something they love.
And Dusty Hera.
I've never taken the high road, but I tell other people to, because then there's more room for me on the low road.
AJ and Dusty on 1080.
Don't be all like, I am a guy and I like fire.
The Fan.
Hour number three, AJ and Dusty with you on this Wednesday. Hope everybody's enjoying a little bit of that sun. Name, image, and likeness has been the talk of college sports. That in the transfer portal over the last year or so, and rightfully so. It's a new world in college athletics. And when you have the transfer portal and name, image, and likeness colliding in instances like Caleb Williams, the Oklahoma quarterback who is going to the highest bidder. Now Wisconsin's entering the fray. A lot of questions about NIL come up, especially out west. And we found an article in the San Francisco Gate by journalist Patrick Riley, who is kind enough to join us now, about the Bay Area's impact in name, image, and likeness, and kind of shedding light on what it's like been in these 6 months and how Cal and Stanford and San Jose State are approaching it. And thank you, Patrick, for taking a few minutes for us. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Yeah, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
You know, this is a really interesting angle that you took into this article, because immediately when name, image, and likeness came out, people kind of looked at, all right, this might be the West Coast's big in for recruiting, and especially in the Bay Area schools with big tech. Cal and Stanford, it was kind of a no-brainer that they would reap the benefits of having the tech companies in their own backyard. But you're kind of finding that that's not really what we're seeing in the first 6 months. What is the status of name, image, and likeness for the two Pac-12 schools down there?
Yeah, I think in talking with some of the administrators and student athletes and experts, it sounds like big tech and Silicon Valley at large hasn't really taken that much interest in necessarily partnering up with student athletes. There's some notable exceptions. FTX, the cryptocurrency exchange, they've got an office in downtown Berkeley. But overall, it seems like schools are mostly leveraging Silicon Valley as sort of an educational tool. So Stanford, for instance, had Meta come in to conduct some seminars, educational NIL seminars for student athletes. But at least so far, it seems like big tech hasn't necessarily taken a great interest in partnering with student athletes in the Bay Area.
Now, do you think that's because, and I could be very wrong here, but it seems like when you have companies like a Google, like a Meta, like who all base in Silicon Valley, but bring in so many people from across the country because they want the best of the best working for them, there isn't that same tie to the town that they actually work in, right? Because maybe they didn't go to Cal, they didn't go to Stanford, and there's so many things to do in the Bay Area that Cal and Stanford are not necessarily the hottest tickets in town, unless you're talking about the Stanford women's basketball team. Do you think that that plays a role in it too, that even though they're in the backyard, there's maybe not as many actual local familial ties to these programs?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think talking with some of the school officials and administrators, they, even as far as early on as last summer, didn't necessarily expect sort of Fortune 500 companies to get involved in the NIL space right away. They were looking at more so, you know, startup type companies that are trying to make a name for themselves and are perhaps trying to attract key demographics to sort of take an interest in NIL. I have spoken with some experts who seem to think that geography might matter going forward, but that, you know, in some cases, it's maybe more important that you have an alumni base that takes a great interest in your school and in your sports, right? Obviously, you all are all familiar with that with Phil Knight in Oregon. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think it might be, you know, there's a lot going on in big tech, and they're obviously global companies that maybe necessarily aren't drawn to college sports right away.
We're talking with Patrick Riley, journalist in the San Francisco Gate right now. He's got an article up about new laws allowing NIL to cash in for the Bay Area schools, and it's just not there right now. You know, this is a question that I have about. It's undeniable that alumni from Cal and Stanford are extremely successful. I mean, yes, they are very successful. Is there concern, though, that they just don't care about sports, though?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think in talking with some of the people for the story, I think what they're telling me, you know, some of the folks that have been watching this space for a while, they seem to think that, you know, the top programs are still the ones that are going to, you know, have the greatest impact when you talk about NIL and that success on the field and in the gym sort of translates, you know, to NIL interest right away. So for us, the approach here was just trying to figure out what has that looked like in the Bay Area. And yeah, I think, you know, naturally the most high profile student athletes and the most high profile programs are going to draw the biggest eyeballs and interest in NIL.
The other thing that I thought was really interesting in your article is the amount of money that has been had, I guess, through NIL deals, but the median is so different in the amount that a lot of student athletes are getting. So what did you find in your research for this story about how much money is being doled out via NIL versus what the majority of the athletes are actually getting for each of these deals?
Yeah, I think that was one of the most interesting parts. And for me in reporting the story is just seeing how much variance there is with deals and how relatively small some can be, right? We're talking about, you know, maybe $50 for a social media post here and there to maybe a few $1,000 for some, for signing trading cards to, you know, at the top end at Cal, at least. And we've heard or I've been told there's one athlete at least that has made, you know, more than $10,000 in NIL deals. So even in the Bay Area, there's a wide sort of variance. And then nationally, you're seeing that kind of reflect as well with some of the data from Influencer, where, you know, median transactions are in the 1300s, but median transactions are in the $50 range, but average transactions are in the 1300 range. So, yeah, I think there's a wide sort of disparity in terms of what you can garner here as an athlete. And most folks seem to think that that might sort of even out over time. But from the people that I spoke with, at least right now, you know, it can range anywhere from getting some free gear and getting some free product to, you know, making a few $1,000 here and there, which obviously is still a huge benefit to student athletes as opposed to what was possible before July 1st.
Yeah, there's an interesting story that you told in there about Nick Starkle, the star quarterback at San Jose State, who's using Open Doors, where we've had some folks on from Open Doors to talk about NIL here before, that they have a really cool feature that gives you recommendation. And it appears that some of these student athletes are getting lowballed based on what the valuation would be. Is this kind of be something where over time, what feeling are you getting that maybe agents or marketing managers will be taking over to make sure that the fair market value is being given to these student athletes, as opposed to a guy like Chase Garbers or Nick Starkle, who've done it on their own to this point?
Yeah, I think, you know, in reporting the story out and talking with some of the people in and around NIL, you know, on the one hand, I think talking with experts, you know, companies are trying to get into the game for a relatively cheap price. at this point because they don't know yet if it'll be beneficial, right? There's still a large degree of risk for them. And so that might be why they're, you know, lowballing or undercutting in some cases. But then to your point, yeah, I think managers, that's something that some of those student athletes have talked to me about too. You know, they've had friends or others who've taken advantage of managers and helping them navigate this space. So I think that could potentially be going forward, be something that we see a lot more and becomes more common because it is, I think, for student athletes kind of difficult to navigate all this when you're having your school responsibilities and sports responsibilities on top of now trying to find NIL opportunities. So I think any type of assistance or support that they can get going forward is probably going to be helpful.
Well, and some of the support that we've seen schools step up is like the Golden Program at Cal, right? Which is like a resource-based program at the university itself to help set student athletes up to succeed. How big of an impact do you think programs like that at each individual school are having? Because some students are certainly taking advantage of it, and some of them are also saying, yeah, I haven't really used it. I think it's a great resource, but I haven't used it. How much do you think that these programs are brand new, right? But how much do you think is over time these programs are going to figure out actually where the gaps are and where they need to step in, either from a knowledge or from an actual resource perspective to benefit student athletes at their programs?
Yeah, I think, you know, talking with the school administrators, I think their goal is, you know, you have players like Garbers or other high profile athletes who come from a sort of business background. Their family is well versed in the business world. And so they might feel like they can go out on their own and have been, you know, successful in doing so. But I think what schools are trying to target or sort of really do here with these programs is lift everybody else up, right? The student athletes that might not be able to tap into those backgrounds. So that seems to be the main goal of these kind of golden programs and Cardinal Connect is education and being able to show student athletes who are not really familiar with the business world what is possible or what is out there. There are also some limitations for the schools and the institutions on what they can do, right? There's they can sort of provide educational opportunities and resources, but they can't necessarily help them, I think, evaluate specific deals or tell them one way or other what to do. There's still sort of a learning curve as well on that. And so I think, yeah, a lot of this is still very new to all of them, including the schools and the student athletes. So we'll see how that develops.
You know, before we let you go, there's like this big question kind of that's looming over name, image, and likeness, and that is it good for college sports as it's so new and everybody's trying to navigate it? What is the sense that you're getting after talking to so many people from, you know, the administration side to the athletes to, you know, you even have the lawyer who helped draft the NIL law in Florida? Is it a good thing for college sports right now? And do you think big changes will be coming to NIL?
Yeah, I think from all the people I talked to for this story, I think the overall feeling and sentiment was that, you know, NIL is something that's well received in college sports. For the student athletes, obviously, it's an opportunity to sort of finally make some money on the side while they're still enrolled in school and capitalize on their success or on their brand. I think the administrators are also sort of taking this head on and look upon it favorably. And I think going forward, what some of the interesting developments might be, and this isn't in the story, but sort of in talking with school officials at Cal, for instance, I think there might be sort of licensing deals that going forward could become sort of a bigger deal where you have, the NCAA video game, for instance, where student athletes, it's a lower bar for them to clear in terms of the effort that they perhaps have to put into some of these deals where they can just sort of sign on with these deals and sort of get a cut from the sales of a video game, for instance. So I think in talking with administrators, that seems to be something they're looking at going forward, co-branding opportunities and licensing type deals where sort of a large swath of student athletes might be able to benefit from NIL at sort of a relatively low sort of input for them.
Patrick Riley, his piece is up at the San Francisco Gate right now. I encourage you all to go check it out about name, image, and likeness in the Bay Area. Thank you for the time. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you all for having me. I really appreciate it.
You know, he said something there at the end where financial literacy is a big part of it.
Massive.
But if you look at the big thing that is plaguing not just the Bay Area schools, but a lot of the schools out west and the haves and have-nots, where the median is $50 exchanges, yet the average transaction is over $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be a big name.
Yep.
Do you know they mention it, he mentions in the piece, Cameron Brink from Southridge High School right here.
Yep, yep.
Plays basketball for Stanford. She has a deal with Netflix. She tweets out in Instagram's ads for Netflix. She gets paid by Netflix. Big tech is willing to dip their toe in it, but you have to be marketable.
Yes.
And Cameron Brink is a great athlete. She is an engaging person. She has a big social media following. And that is somebody that's what big tech's going to go after, not just because they're alums, because here's the difference between what's going on at Miami or in Texas, where the offensive linemen are each getting $50,000,
mm-hmm.
is that Netflix is a publicly traded company.
Yeah.
They've got investors that they need to justify
yeah.
these mega deals if they're throwing out, you know, $1 million to a player. The Pancake House in Austin, Texas doesn't have to do that because they're not publicly traded.
Nope. And I was just going to say the interesting thing this morning, too, is that out of Arkansas, there was the J.B. Hunt family, right? Which is very different than J.B. Hunt, the company, but it's the Hunt family. They're investing in Arkansas, or like when the Waltons invest in NIL deals, it's not Walmart investing, it's the Waltons.
Right.
And so that's the thing, is that these, not just these businesses that have all this power, but the families behind it are what's the actual investing point.
The Kayvon Thibodeau NFT was Phil Knight and Tinker Hatfield.
Exactly.
Not Nike.
Exactly.
All right. Some of your feedback, 503-250-1080. This is interesting because there's the big whiff that Cal and Stanford missed. AJ and Dusty on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Instructions before leaving, knowledge is wisdom. This goes back when I was 12. I loved doing right, but I was trapped in hell. Had mad ideas, sad eyes and tears, years of fears, but yo, my foes couldn't bear.
This is AJ and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
We talked with Patrick Riley, San Francisco Gate. He's got an NIL story up right now. It's pretty interesting. And Cal and Stanford came out of the gate, and they were public and in the forefront saying, hey, we got Silicon Valley. We got big tech. You know, the startups around here, Facebook, Google, we got it all. Apple, they're all in our own backyard. Like, you can cash in on this too. Wrong. You know, and that's just not how it's going. And this is where, you know, the golden program that Cal has, was it Cardinal Connect, the Stanford one, which are their NIL kind of funneling programs that every school has now.
Yeah.
They whiffed. They whiffed. And I think what we're seeing now is that they whiffed on, one, realizing they don't have relationships that they thought they did on the athletic side that they do on the academic side.
Mm.
And two is, these big businesses, they don't care unless you are marketable. And that is the problem, is having marketable athletes. There's very few marketable athletes on the West Coast, period, right now in college sports.
And you're competing. I keep saying this, but it's like you're competing with so much out here. You're not just competing with other collegiate athletes. You're competing with pro teams all over the place. You're competing with communities that aren't necessarily that diehard college sports town, right? Like Eugene and Corvallis are wonderful, wonderful college towns. But then you have the SEC, where an entire state is behind a school, right? Then you have the Big Ten, where, yes, they're very academically focused, but like same thing. And so I think that that's a big part of it too, is you're competing not just with, you're competing with anything and everything. You're not just competing against other colleges. You're competing against the outdoors. You're competing against other passions. You're competing against big tech and pro sports and just diverted attention.
Well, that's why I asked him, like, alumni are undeniably successful from Cal and Stanford, but do they care about sports?
Yeah.
That's the difference. They do elsewhere. And that's where, that is where, you know, UW can have Nordstrom's and Alaska Airlines and, you know, T-Mobile and Starbucks all up there. And that is great. But are you going to get them involved?
Right.
You know, Oregon with Division Street, they're getting Nike involved, or at least Phil Knight's money is involved. And it can be on the quote unquote, the up and up. Right. That is what the SEC is doing, is they're saying, no, the individual with the big pocketbook, show us. And that's how NIL is working everywhere else. It's not the company. It's the alumni, that person you connect with, and then the money goes in.
Right. And I think there are definitely prominent alumni from like Stanford, right? Like Richard Sherman cares about Stanford. But I think how much of an impact can that one, like Richard Sherman, for as great as an impact and as deep as an impact he can have on a few student athletes at Stanford, is nothing compared to Phil Knight and the overreaching impact that he can have on like every Oregon program, should he so choose. And that's part of the problem, is that you need the business, you need the person behind the business to be super stoked about it, not just prominent alum.
Yep. And right now, this article is just proving they don't.
Nope.
But hey, a couple million will get you Caleb Williams. So maybe they can do that.
There you go.
They say that numbers never lie. We will prove. Sometimes they do. First is Will with SportsCenter.
Dance with the mantis. Note the slim chances. Chant this anthem. Swing like Pete Sampras. Taking it straight to big man on campus. Brandish your weapon.
This is AJ and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
With or without the automatic. And while I'm at it, yo, you got cash, pass it. It's drastic. Got to send half the dirty.
Your waves are spinning. Blades are spinning.
All right, we usually do numbers lie at this time. We're going to have to call a hot route on it right now, because we mentioned this at the beginning of the 1 o'clock hour, but the Blazers, they had the Dallas Mavericks tonight, second of a back-to-back, and coming off a road trip that was wildly successful for the Blazers, where I think by any measure, that road trip was a success, healthy or not. When you have, it started in Denver, Washington, Orlando, Miami, Boston, and then Toronto. They went 4-2 on that trip.
I think that, and it's not just the Wizards and the Magic that they beat, right? I think beating the Celtics, beating the Raptors, those were really big wins for the Blazers. They played the Heat really close up until the final few minutes or so.
Fell apart at the end.
And so, yeah, I think it's a very successful road trip. I also think what's been great for the players on this team is we've, outside of the ones who are injured, so like that's the majority. So
it's kind of it now. Yeah. It's everybody.
So outside of the ones who are on the court, they're all playing pretty well, right? Like they're all having their moments to shine. Yeah. And I think the truth of it is there's likely going to be some moves made, right? By the deadline, which is February 10th. By interim GM Joe Cronin. And so, but both for the player and for the franchise, the best scenario possible is that guys are hitting their stride, is that guys are impressing in these games, because you want that market value to be at the very top. You want to be
showcasing,
getting as much as you possibly can for any of these players that you're planning on moving.
And that's why I said, like, the Miami Heat loss, great loss. Played really well, melted down at the end, and that was CJ's return, and he looked good in the first half. He and Ant played really well together.
Yeah.
After, you know, his debut on Monday, where Ant looked kind of uncomfortable, that second game, it was like, boom.
Yeah.
He and Ant looked really well. Each of them dropped 20 in the first half, and then the second half, it devolved into an S show of senses on the offensive end. But what happened was, you saw bright spots and you saw signs of progress, and that led to finishing that road trip with two wins. Last night was very similar in that the Blazers were right there, and this is where it kind of comes to, all right, last night was a very similar loss for the Blazers, which is a good loss in that, look, if your goal is waving the white flag and Dame's not coming back and you're playing for a draft pick, have those flashes in that showcase that you're talking about. But ultimately, at the end, Anthony Edwards said, no, I'm the better Ant. I'm the one that's going to win this game, and I will show you how by dropping 40. Here's where it's like one step forward, one step back with the Blazers all season long, is that Nasir Little played a phenomenal game last night.
Yeah.
He was playing above the rim. He was playing outside. Remember when Nas was drafted, and it was like, you drafted a guy who can't shoot. Right?
Yeah.
And he went 4 of 6 from three. And that's kind of been one of those things this month in the games that the Blazers have played, 12 games in the month of January, is that he's shooting 40% from three, which is like, he was 26% in college. And so you're looking at, and he went four for six from beyond the arc. He was all over the place. He's out tonight with the strained shoulder that he hurt in the fourth quarter last night. Like,
yeah,
that sucks. Robert Covington, he's out with a grade 1 MCL sprain. Not good news for the Portland Trailblazers when you're playing a team that has, you know, Kristaps Porzingis coming into town, and you have length with Kleber and these guys. It's a horrible matchup for the Portland Trailblazers coming into tonight. This is, and you lose Nas, you lose Roko. It's going to be the small lineup tonight. And that's why it's been one step forward, one step back for this team all year. And people just want to make these sweeping judgments with this team. And I get it. Like, this is what happens every year with the Blazers. Mm-hmm. But you can't make any sort of, like, sweeping judgment as to the sustainability of anything, except for Anthony Simons is now comfortable in his skin as an NBA player, which is great. And I think that's a statement you can't make. Everything else, like, no, they haven't dramatically improved defensively. Do they look more comfortable? Yeah, they're still 28th in the NBA. I know in their last 10 games or whatever, they're 18th in the league. But they still have these massive flaws that get highlighted every time there's another big injury.
Well, and another big that they play, right? Like, another team that has height and that has length and size.
Length.
That is something that has been exacerbated. It's something that we saw coming this offseason. And it's something that, based on the injuries, right, you have Nurk out for a little bit. You have Roko out for a little bit. Both of them in COVID protocols at one point or another. Larry Nance Jr.'s out. You have Cody Zeller out. I mean, you're very thin when it comes to being able to play against significant bigs in this league. And when they're also the ones who end up on the COVID protocol or whatever, it doesn't matter. Nurk has had some really, really, really good games. Like, really good games. He cannot do it by himself. You need more depth and more height at those positions to have somebody to back him up or to be able to support him. And so it feels like not only is this inevitable, but it feels like it's just exacerbating the roster construction issues that we knew this team had coming into the season.
You want the good news or the bad news?
Bad news first.
The bad news is that it appears the starting lineup for the Dallas Mavericks will go 6'7 point guard Luka Doncic, 6'7 forward Dorian Finney-Smith. They'll have Jalen Brunson, who's 6'1. That's good in the lineup. And then they'll go 6'10 Maxi Kleber and 7'3 Kristaps Porzingis. That's without Nas or Roko in the lineup tonight for the Blazers. Want the good news?
Sweet, yeah.
Tim Hardaway Jr. won't be playing.
Oh,
for Dallas.
That was the good news.
Length is a problem. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
Length is going to be a problem. Length is going to be a problem again tonight for the Blazers. Look, this team, though, they've pleasantly surprised turning these corners, though, time and time again.
Well, it's pleasantly surprising because it's been individual players who've turned it, right? Like, I think Anfernee Simons has been a pleasant surprise because we've gotten to see him grow so much game to game to game. He's picking up the different defenses that are now being thrown at him. He's able to find his spots. He's able to facilitate. He's able to play alongside Norman Powell, along CJ McCollum. He's able to play by himself. Like, when those two were out, right? Like, he was also able to play. Yusuf Nurkic has had some moments defensively, especially where you go, oh my gosh, the Bosnian beast. And then he made like the biggest 3-pointer of his career against, I think it was the Celtics. But the play before that, he'd facilitated. And the play before that, he'd blocked. And it was like, you see him being this all-encompassing just player to reckon with, I think. And so you see individual players turn the corner or turn these little micro corners, if you will. But the team as a whole is not in a place to turn the corner.
No. And we know that about this team.
Exactly.
This is a game where I hope we see like 73s. I hope we see like 73s tonight. We will see that analytics 3 is better than 2. Just let it play out tonight. Defend the perimeter on the defensive end of the floor. Just chuck them up on the offensive end. Let's go.
I'm down.
Fill it up. Norm, you're back in. Ant, Norm, CJ. Go.
Send it up.
3s. All right. The best thing that happened today in sports, next on The Fan.
Yo, in the housing, thousands seen early grave. Victims of worldly ways, memory stays engraved. All my live brothers is locked down with high numbers. The young hunger blind to
this is AJ and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
10 feet gates around the building keep us sealed in. The project, life was like a Vietnam vet. Constant war, several threats of enemy conquest. Quicker cops call my building complex, that's in the rumble.
Best thing that happened in sports today.
Vivid thoughts, devils resort to trick knowledge.
It's the one thing about sports that kind of brings people together is that it's become this tradition. And the first I remember it is when I think it was for Andy Dalton.
Yes.
The Buffalo Bills fans donated to Andy Dalton's charity when the Bengals won a game that got the Bills into the playoffs.
Yep.
And they just came over the top with these donations to Andy Dalton's foundation to make a difference, to thank him for helping the Bills make the playoffs. Well, after a 13-second drive ripped the heart out of the Buffalo Bills fan base, the Kansas City Chiefs decided to do something nice for the Buffalo community.
Well, and let's just also let it be known that there's a ton of really, really great things that have come from this fundraising. They have not also been without like a slight amount of pettiness in it, right? So like the Andy Dalton thing that you're talking about, they donated in increments of $17 because it was the first time that they'd made the playoffs in 17 years. Okay. So there's always been some sort of numerical tie. And so what the Kansas City fans are doing is donating in increments of $13.
That's just messed up.
To signify the 13-second field goal winning drive.
That's messed up.
Against the Bills.
That's messed up.
I mean, but also, like, we can't really call it messed up because they're out here donating hundreds of thousands of dollars to a children's hospital in Buffalo.
Yeah, that is, I mean, yes. That is nice, but it's like 13 seconds is the, by the way, we just want you to know.
Remember where this came from.
This is why.
Right.
Is $13.
I mean, that's why it was important. Like, Bills fans have been a part of that aspect of it, right? Is like they did the $17 for 17 years since the playoffs.
And they did it to the Children's Hospital in Buffalo because Josh Allen donated a bunch of money to it. And it's the Children's Wing is named after his grandmother, Patricia Allen. And so it was a nice little tip of the cap to Buffalo.
And originally, so I was reading more about the story. Originally, it was from the Chiefs Kingdom Facebook group, and they were going to donate the $13 to Patrick Mahomes' organization, the 15 and the Mahomes Foundation.
Yeah, but then they saw Brittany and Jackson being turds.
I don't think that's what happened.
But, oh, that's not it? Okay.
I mean, I think then they switched it to be the Bills because that's what the Bills Mafia has done.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that had to do with it.
That turn is,
I know, it was,
I love it.
It was really dramatic for you. I feel like you were like very much like not caught off guard, but it was like you really are irritated with these two individuals.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, because like Patrick Mahomes has seemed like he's squeaky clean, and he handles himself so, he like think of what the way he handled the end of that game.
Yep.
Where everybody on the Chiefs is celebrating, and Mahomes goes dead sprint to go and just say, "Hey, you played a hell of a game to Josh Allen," and like goes and picks up Josh Allen in a time where he's down. Meanwhile, his wife is spraying a bunch of people in 30-degree weather, the 20-degree weather, with champagne, and then has a
from a whole section above too. Like, yeah, just let it be known
from her luxury suite.
Yeah, it's from her suite down into the.
And then, did you see what her response was?
Oh no!
Oh yeah, she had something yesterday that was like, "I just want to be able to be me and have fun." That was her take on what happened.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't think, but okay, so again, like it comes back to like the car situation, like, right? My car is entitled to the space; it's allowed to take up. You be you, but when you being you starts affecting other people, that's when there has to be some consideration for it.
She said, "I just wish I could do what I want without getting attacked every week."
Well, maybe just spray the champagne on the people in your luxury suite this next time, because they've all like, they're like voluntary participants.
Yeah, turn around.
Yeah.
And spray the people you're around.
Yeah, like
exactly.
Choose
yeah.
the voluntary participants. Don't like have some kid be rooting on it with his dad and like, "Dad, what is this falling from the sky?"
Yeah. I mean, as somebody who hates being cold, being wet and cold is way worse.
And sticky. Wasn't that champagne?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
They put goggles on in championship rooms for a reason.
You know what I've been thinking about a lot, too, since the end of that game? Is I wrote down in my notes how cool it was as I was watching the game to see Josh Allen's entire family celebrating when they scored with 13 seconds left.
Yeah.
I really wonder what it was like at the end of the game, because his dad was crying. They were talking on the broadcast about his dad crying and being like, "Look how proud he is." Everybody forgot about that. I kind of like, there's a sick part of me that's like, what happened? Like, what was good? Pan back over there. Let's see what that was like, because they must have just been like,
oh, crestfallen.
I can't believe it.
But I'm sort of glad they didn't, right? Like,
oh, I'm totally glad they didn't. Yeah.
It's a situation like, I don't want to have to see that. That would make me sad.
But I got that. I got that little part of me. We all have that little part of me.
I mean, but that's a family. I feel like that's different than like panning to a coach or a player. I always feel like, you know, the family, sometimes they like insert themselves into the spotlight, but I don't really feel like Josh Allen's family has done that all that much. And so I can appreciate respecting the, I'll let you grieve privately.
Man, because that's the other side of sports that they deserve the $178,000 that Chiefs fans put together for the Children's Hospital. That's the other side of that great donation, is that the Allen family was sitting there celebrating, hearts ripped out, and then just, ugh.
Yeah, but that's also the other side of fans, right? Like, we talk so much about fans and how they throw popcorn and, like, respect the players on the court.
Fans are great.
And these fans deserve a round of applause for taking a situation. And not only, I mean, having the awareness, too, I think, to switch it from their own quarterback to the opposing team, because that's the standard that Bills Mafia has set throughout the NFL. And I think that's a pretty cool nod.
All right. I want it to be known that the next time I do something that is wrong and I know it's wrong, I'm going to say, "I just want to do what I want and not be attacked." Okay.
Well, I'm going to have the same exact response.
I just want to do what I want and not be attacked over it.
And until it affects my life,
that's okay. That's A-okay. All right. Man, way to go, Chiefs fans. Now I'm pulling for the Bengals. We said this yesterday.
I know.
And this is going to be, like, we talk about this, and tomorrow and Friday are going to be big breakdown days of the AFC-NFC championship games. like I've already tipped my hand on what I want to happen, and that is I want Joe Burrow in the Cincinnati Bengals in their party at all cost vibe, yes, to be going to LA and in the Super Bowl. And that's nothing. I'd love Andy Reid still. I still like Patrick Mahomes, and that's it in his family. I like Patrick Mahomes. I love Kelsey and all those guys. They're fun team to watch. No, I'm in on Cincinnati, and I'm in on the 49ers.
You want CJ Uzomah to have that dream scenario that he broke down for us a few weeks ago.
Maybe not. I don't want to tip my hand on what I want for the Super Bowl, but a Niners-Bengals Super Bowl is what I want.
Oh, they'd go that hard for a championship this weekend, don't you think?
Yeah, but the CJ Uzomah was like, wants the champagne after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but I think you're still celebrating pretty hard.
Oh, yeah.
Especially given they got 2 weeks until the game.
They got 2 weeks.
Yeah, you're going to be able to have a fun time.
But I just find the Niners more likable than the Rams right now.
Okay. I could go either way. I am rooting for a good game.
Look, it's only Wednesday, and that's what my heart is telling me. My brain is going to tell me probably something completely different in both. Actually, I know my brain is telling me something
Your
completely
wallet?
Both. In Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That. You know what I'm going to do? I'm totally going to hedge my heart.
There you go.
This weekend, right there in the betting app.
Perfect.
All right. Up next, we got primetime with Isaac and Souk, 3-7. No Ducks basketball to stop their show today. They will have full show. All right, we'll be back Thursday from noon to 3 right here on 1080 The Fan. Have a great Wednesday. See you Thursday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.